For people who like karate, we got all kinds out there. And hopefully you'll like that. You can go online and order anything you'd like. In your Bibles, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and just in case anybody's getting nervous, I will watch the time very carefully. Amen? All right. Oh, there's no basketball, though. I'm not going to forget that announcement. I bet some kids are devastated. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said this. He says, we all run a race. And I thought about that. If my journey is going to have to be run, I'm out of luck. 5 years ago, I had a knee replacement because of sports injuries down through my life, and it never took, and I have not run in 5 years. So if I have to run that race, if I have, my journey has to be run, I'm in a tough spot. But let me just pull a thought out of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And I'll let you do all the work in front of it and behind it, down in verse 8 and that, and put it all together. But look what Paul says here. For we what? We walk by faith. Whew, that's a relief to me. I don't have to run that race. I can walk. And that means everybody can be involved. I'd like to look with you tonight at five places. There's dozens, might be hundreds of places in the Bible we see the word walk, but I want to look at five places tonight where we see the word walk and see what is being taught in conjunction with that word. And then we'll be done. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be here at Blue Look Bible Church, Pastor Neighbors and his fine people. Lord, all the singing's been great, and Lord, everybody's been so kind and friendly to me. I'm thankful for that. I feel right at home. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take the ministry of the Fellowship Track League and embed it into our hearts deeply so we just can't get away from fulfilling the Great Commission with the help of gospel tracts. Bless the message tonight as we look at the word walk five different times in the Scripture, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you the reference. You can write down the reference. First time the word walk is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 8. We have the story. This original sin has just been committed. The Lord, as was his practice, he had been walking in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And this particular day, as the Lord's walking, Adam and Eve had hid themselves, and the Lord said this, Adam, where art thou? Of course, the Lord knew where he was, and of course, Adam had to respond. Do you know the first time the word walk is used, it's with the Lord walking with human beings, Adam and Eve. You know, I thought early growing up that I would finally one day be able to wake up every morning and be right wide awake, jump up, get dressed, go, you know? But, you know, every morning for all these 67 years is still a struggle to get out of bed, you know, and really put things in gear. And here's what I want to say. When I wake up, I feel like my Bible's sitting there at the desk in my bedroom, and I feel like the Lord is saying to me, Timothy, where art thou? And my favorite time of the day to have devotions is right off the bat. Prayer and reading the Scripture. That's the important thing. And as Christ walked with Adam and Eve, so will Christ walk with you and I as we turn the pages and we read the Bible. And he walks us through the Scriptures. Remember on the road after his resurrection, he was walking with two disciples explaining the Scripture to them. He was walking on that road to Emmaus and explaining the Scriptures. And as we read every day, he's explaining the Scriptures to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know. I don't think in all my years of dating I have ever been stood up. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe there's someone here who's been stood up. You really go back in your life. Maybe one of the ladies here, members, when they maybe had a date set up and the guy stood her up. Isn't that horrible to stand somebody up? Do not stand the Lord up when he's calling for you and the Scriptures. I believe the Lord was waiting for Adam and Eve, and I believe the Lord waits for you and I every morning when we wake up to spend our time with Him. When our minds are fresh, when we have the full day ahead of us. And when I was a young person, I grew up in a great Christian home in Cleveland, Ohio. Dad and Mom, great, great believers in Christ. Went to a great church. And I loved as a teenager to read the Bible. My favorite book was Acts. I wish it never ended there. I wish it just kept going and going and going. But I hope the young people will learn early on to really establish themselves in reading the Bible, finding out about the God of the universe. Point two, second time the word walk is used, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos says, can two walk together except they be, you know that next word, agreed. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Like what, you might say? How about doctrinally? When's the last time anybody here has read the doctrinal statement of your church? Sunday school material I used to order when I was pastoring, I taught the adult class obviously, on the inside of the front cover and on the inside of the back cover, there were 14 doctrinal statements in each one, and every Sunday morning I would read a doctrinal statement from the front and one from the back, and in 14 weeks we'd start all over again. Now I didn't spend much time, maybe a couple of minutes on that, but those important cardinal doctrines that are so precious to us, I just went over and over and over to embed them into the hearts and minds and character of the people I pastored. Being doctrinally agreed is important. And somebody say amen there. That is terribly important. It's also important that we're agreed what a biblical family is. Our society is so confused anymore. Everything's kind of turned upside down. They have no idea what a real home is. In fact, they work overtime to make it impossible to have a real biblical home. Where the Bible says a real biblical home is where dad is the head of that home. No, the lady said. That's tough, I know. My wife would have a hard time too, I'm sure. I don't apologize for that. You know, I go back in my early upbringings. I saw my dad lead that home. Mom was glad to follow his leadership. Dad took care of Mom. Remember that show years ago, Queen for the Day? How many remember that? When my mom married my dad, it was Queen for life. He took so good care of her. And she loved him and he loved her. He never laid a hand on her. He never raised his voice to her. He led that home. And then, of course, the kids. You know, my dad would often say to me, son, you have no rights in this home. That made me feel real good. Sometimes if I was bad, he would say, you're lucky I even feed you. Boy, that really got through. All right, young people, you're lucky you're even fed. The idea was that dad led the home, mom followed his leadership, and we as kids, we listened to mom and dad. It seems in this society it's kind of turned upside down. I've seen so many homes where the young people run the home. If you could only know how many counseling sessions I'd have when dad and mom come in and I say, what's wrong? And they say, well, our daughter won't stop dating this hippie. I would say, time out. And I'd look at the dad. I'd say, who's the boss? He says, I don't know. A real biblical home is where dad is the head. Mom follows that leadership, and the kids are in subjection and obedience to both parents. That's the way it works. I think I may have had the happiest home in the history of this planet. I don't know how anybody could have a better home than I did. Dad loved me, hugged me, told me he loved me. Mom hugged me, loved me, told me she loved me. I mean, there was no screaming in the home. We had devotions every day. When we were done eating, we'd have family devotions. My dad get the Bible. We could not run outside and play or do anything till we read the Bible. And then we'd sing the B-I-B-L-E. How about that? Guess what? When I got married, had kids, Pastor, I did the same thing. We'd read the Bible every night. And then we'd sing the B-I-B-L-E. Now, all five of my kids are married, and when they have devotions with their kids, you know what they do? They read it every night after dinner, and they sing the B-I-B-L-E. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for starting that, so I could gain that, pass that on. A real biblical home is based on all these things I have said. And if you have a biblical-based home, you truly are a happy people. Philosophically agreed on how our church should be run. As God puts the pastor in and then builds that work around him, and as the pastor leads the people, the deacons assist and help him, and everybody else finds their spot and they follow the leadership of the pastor. And that's really important that is taken to heart, just like all these other things. We need to be agreed on that. When my church followed my leadership, we grew. Man alive, that we grew. Grow. I'll get the right verb out there. And we really grew. But every once in a while, somebody just would just get mad at life. I don't even know what they were mad about. And they stopped doing this, and they stopped doing that, and they would kind of challenge this and challenge that, and all of a sudden our church came to a dead standstill. We didn't go anywhere. So we have to go and iron out those problems, take care of what we could, and then back to leading the church with the church following the leadership of the pastor. You will make your pastor's life so much easier and kind and fruitful if you say, "Pastor, I'm going to follow you anywhere you lead us." With exception now, I mean something goofy, you know, like rooting for a college in another state. Uh-oh, I never asked him ahead of time. I should have. I'm moving on very wisely. Point three, Jeremiah 6:16 says we need to walk in the old ways. Romans 13:13 says we need to walk honestly. Is your word your bond? When you tell somebody you're going to do something, do you do it? When you make take a loan and you sign your name, are you honest you're going to pay that loan back? I had a Christian school. So many Christians, I had to just take their neck and twist it sometimes. Hey, pay your bill. We got teachers ready to be paid. You said you'd pay that. I don't think you're walking in the old ways. Micah 6:8 says to walk humbly. I know someone who's smarter than Einstein. They asked me for advice going into high school. I said, be humble about it. don't tell anybody you're smart. I mean, they'll resent you. Walk humbly. In Ephesians 5:15, it says to walk circumspectly. That's an old way. Early on in our ministry, we had a young couple that came to church. Mom got saved. Daughter got saved. Dad did not get saved. They were in their 20s. I was in my 20s. We were very friendly to each other. The man was an alcoholic. Well, he kept coming to church and coming to church and coming to church. Guess what? He got saved. That next day, Sunday, the next day, Monday, he went to work. He worked as a roofer. And he got up in that roof, and the guys were just talking this and that. And they'll say, hey Bob, we'll see you at the bar after work, right? Bob says, nope, I'm not going. I said, you're not going? He says, no. They says, you're kidding us. Why aren't you going? He says, I got me religion yesterday. Now, he didn't understand how to explain salvation and being born again. You know, all those wonderful things that we understand and are a blessing to us. He just told them he got religion, and they stared at him. And they said, you're teasing us. They said, we'll see you at the bar. They got in their pickup trucks. They went to the bar. Bob went by. The window was rolled down. He just waved at him. His friends could not believe he didn't stop in at that bar. You see, as an alcoholic, he would go home and yell and curse and break things and windows and smash things. Thank goodness he never physically harmed his wife or daughter, but he did everything else an alcoholic could do. Well, he says, I'm not going. You know, week after week after week, they just wrote him and wrote him and wrote him about going to that bar. Finally, one day he says, okay, I'll go, but I'm only having a bottle of water, one game of pool, then I'm going home with my wife and daughter. Sure enough, that's what he did. Went in, had a bottle of water, game of pool, and he went home. But he started doing that every week. And finally, that bottle of water led to a bottle of booze. One bottle is all it took. He stayed there late, got very drunk, went home, and portrayed the same behavior that he had before. Sunday came, Bob came, wife came, daughter came, invitation. They came to the altar. He kind of just waved me over, and I went down. And I said, Bob, what's going on? And he's weeping, and his glasses are falling off, and he's rubbing his hands through his hair, and he told me what had happened. And I went to this verse right here, where it says to walk how? circumspectly. I says, Bob, you got to walk circumspectly. He says, Pastor, I have no idea what that word means. I can't even pronounce it. And I said, that's kind of like a math term, like circumference, okay? He says, I said, like you had in geometry in high school. He says, I quit school when I was in seventh grade. And I go, oh my goodness, this is going to be a tough one to get through. So I'm just thinking about it, and I don't know what to do. He's looking at me for an answer. Then all of a sudden, the Lord gave me an answer. I says, Bob, here's what we do. Do you have to drive by that bar every night going home? He says, no, but it's the quickest way. I says, well, couldn't you drive circumspectly all the way around that bar to your house? He said, yeah, but it'd take me 15 minutes longer. I says, Bob, would you rather get home sober 15 minutes late every night or go by that bar and get drunk all over again and mess everything up again? He says, I got it. And he got it. I think very important for you and I to walk circumspectly to our weak areas of our life that can pull us down. I think every time men and young men, we turn on that computer, we need to watch ourselves. We need to be circumspect about that. That is our enemy every time we open that up. And the young people, every time you open up that cell phone to Instagram or Snapchat, there's going to be bad pictures that are going to pop up occasionally, and it's going to get in your brain. Circumspectly. Point four, I'm going quickly now, in 1 Peter 5:8, talking about this word walk. In Genesis, the Lord's walking with Adam and Eve. Amos says we need to be agreed to walk. Jeremiah said walk in the old ways. But in 1 Peter 5:8, we're told that Satan's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary out there. Someone who hates us for who we are as a born-again believer. And someone who will do everything that person can to destroy our testimony. I heard a pastor at one fellowship talking about a lion. And he said, those lions are pretty smart. If there's a herd of antelope going across, the lion doesn't go after the youngest, strongest, biggest, fastest. That's too much work. He looks for one of the antelope that gets separated from that flock. Maybe an older one that's sickly, maybe a young one that can't keep up, and they become the lion's prey. How important is it for you and I to be at every single service at God's house, to come together as a flock? It's so much more difficult for Satan to get us separated at that point and destroy our testimony and bring pain and anguish into our lives when we're faithful to God's house. We never missed a service when I was growing up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, special services. My dad taught Christian stockade and Christian brigade. It's kind of like a Boy Scout, but it was a church manual there. We never missed church for anything. That really helped me growing up in the 60s during the hippie movement and the drugs. That really helped me as a teenager to be involved in my local church. We have an adversary. Don't you think he's not after you? What a great, great, happy time Satan would have if he could destroy somebody's testimony here at Blue Lick Bible Church. Now everybody get ready to say amen. Okay, are you ready for my last point? Revelations 21. I'm close. I'm going to turn there. You want to turn there as well. The last point. And then, Pastor, I'm going to be right at that quarter after. I will let you close out the service any way you see fit, just to give you a heads up on that. In Revelation 21, and I verse 23, I'm going to back up to 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of sun. Think about that. The city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are baptized shall walk. Does it say that? Does it say baptized there? It doesn't, does it? The nations of those who contribute a lot of money to church. Doesn't say that. It says what? And the nations of them which are saved. The last time the word walk is used in the Bible is right here. And shall walk in the light of it. Early on in my ministry in downtown Columbus, there were 17 seniors left, and they got me, and we were talking about salary, and they said, "Preacher, all we can afford to pay you is $175. This is back in 1979. I had three of my five kids at that time, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't think I can make ends meet on $175 a week. I got the kids need this, and I got to pay rent, and I got to do this with the car. In a nanosecond, I was thinking that, and I just said, man, I'm just going to be honest. I don't think I can live on $175 a week. They said, a week? That's for the month. Oh, my goodness. God wanted me there, and God took care of all that, like He always does. Because of that, I was working a part-time job in the evenings at a manufacturing place, and I'm in my 20s, and it's now Friday going into Saturday a.m., and we're all getting off at the same time, and all the guys walk by and says, hey, Lapis, so-and-so's getting married. We're going to give him a bachelor's party tonight. We're all going to go over to this adult club. You want to go with us? I said, no. And they said, no. I said, that's right, no. Well, don't you like to have fun? Well, yeah, I like to have fun. Well, Brother Lapis, they said, Brother Lapis, what do you want to do for fun? What's fun to you? I said, going to church. You could have seen the look on their faces when I said that. I said, going to church. And I'm not kidding you. Still today, all these years I've been in the ministry, I have a blast, guys, when I go to church. No, I saw most of the kids smiling tonight. I didn't see many frowners. You must be enjoying yourself. I'll tell the kids at the Christian school, we'll have a big party this Saturday. Oh, great news, Brother Lapis. Where are we going to go? I says, right here in this classroom. They said, what? I said, see that whiteboard? We're going to work on math problems all night and eat pizza and have a blast. Nobody wanted to come. Folks, we had never met each other till tonight, but I would much rather hang out with you and just talk to you and have fun with you, because I know I'm not going to hear bad language and bad jokes and terrible things. They wanted me to go where it was dark. But I want to go where it's light, because that's the Lamb of God. 1 John, walk in the light as He is in the light. I don't want to go to that club. Darkness. Boy, someone might see me there. And then think of that verse. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I had no interest, but I do have interest in chilling out with you guys. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I will have a blast with you, because it's great and there's great joy in serving the Lord. Amen. Boy, if you can get that, you'll be a wise person tonight. Last time it's used is when we're going to walk in heaven in the light the Lamb of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be a blessing here tonight. And Lord, I just pray again, as a track league, as a reason I'm here primarily, Lord, that you'll just touch folks' heart and may they really get a vision what they can do and how they can help with gospel tracks. But then, Lord, the message tonight too about our walk should be so special to us. Our walk should be such a priority in our life that we're not going to let anything interfere with our walk with Thee. Help us to get that deep down in our soul, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn to hymn number 400. We're going to sing, "I'll Live for Jesus." We're going to walk with Him, do what He wants. How many of you tonight would say, "Pastor, I would like to take one of those coin banks and put your hands up here," because He only had four or five, so I want to make sure we've got enough of them. Okay, all right, put your hands down. Just come and get this. I don't think we have to order any. I think He's got enough for us there. So, but if you want a coin bank, take that and use it for the Lord. You can do that, and we praise the Lord for that. Let's stand and sing together, "I'll Live for Jesus." We need to walk in the light as He's in the light and live for Him. God's spoken to your heart and you want to come and kneel at this altar and pray about anything, we invite you to do that.